Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Vav, and we're at the Mishnah, the very top of daf Kuf Vav Amid Aleph. So the first few dafin of Perek Base Kor discussed somebody that's selling a base kor offer. A base kor, again, is a large parcel of land, approximately 150,000 square feet. It's made up of 30 sot. Each sot was made up of 6 kavim. So it's approximately 180 kavim. So the Mishnah discussed different halachas regarding the sale of a base kor. Specifically, if somebody sells a base kor and he ends up selling a little bit more or a little bit less, meaning the agreement was a base kor, it turned out there was more or less. Said the Mishnah, depending on the language that was used in the agreement or orally at the time of the sale, that would determine what the halacha is. If what was said was base kor offer mida b'chevel ani meichalach, it was said specifically that we're going to measure the land to make sure that it's exactly a base kor. Then if you're over even by a little bit or under even by a little bit, the buyer or the seller would have to make the other party whole. If the language that was used was hein chaser hein yaser, it's approximately a base kor, not exactly pachis yaser hein chaser hein yaser, any synonym of that, then the halacha would be that even if you're off by a little bit, still the sale would be in effect and there would be an implied mechila. By how much? So we said a roiva haka for each saw, being that there are 30 saw in a base kor, so it would be 30 times a roiva hakav, which is 7.5 kavin. So for a parcel of land that's a base kor, 7.5 kavin of overage or underage, that we would apply mechila. Beyond that, at that point already, you'd have to make the person whole. The Gemara said in the beginning of the sugi, ibaylu, what would be if you didn't use such dramatic language? You didn't say mida bechevel, which is one extreme on the spectrum. You also didn't say hein chaser hein yasa, which is the other side of the spectrum. What if you just said base kor offer ani mechilach? Stamma. The Gemara came out lamaskana that base kor stamma is kein chaser hein yasser dami, meaning we always assume there's a mechila of 7.5 kavin for every base kor, unless you say mefurish the lashon of mida bechevel. So we have mida bechevel, hein chaser hein yasser, those are the two extremes in the spectrum. Yeah, a base kor stamma, in the braisa the Gemara discussed a kid base kor. What if you said base kor but you added the kaf adimyan? What would halacha be over there? Our Mishnah now is going to discuss another case. B'simanov u'b'metzarov. What if Reuven is selling Shimon a base kor, and he tells him tap reshbam base kor offer ani moicher lach b'toicha simanim v'hametzarin ha'lalu sha'ataroya hakol kach lacha. So what's different about this case is over here the buyer and the seller are standing on top of the property that's about to be sold, and the seller tells the buyer that you see this property right here that begins right here, and it ends right there. He points out the simanim, the landmarks, the boundaries, everything in here is a base kor, and that's what I'm selling to you. Then the halach is, if we find out that it wasn't a base kor, pachas mishtos higiyu, if it was off by a sixth, then the halach is higiyu, ad shtos yenaka, more than a sixth, the halach is you'd have to make the person whole. What if it's exactly a sixth? Says the Rashbam, that's going to be the first gemara. We're going to see what that halach is in a second. So over here, where the buyer and the seller are standing right next to this base kor, and he says the lashon of simanov and mitzarov, it's a third shulchan aruch. It's a separate halacha. Over here, it's not a roiva hakav for every saw. Over here, we don't say you have to be a stickler, and if you're off by even one little thing, you have to be make the other person whole. But over here, the magic number is going to be a six. Why should it be different? So the Rashbam says, because being that you're standing in front of it right now, so the assumption is that the buyer is willing to take it as is, but up to a certain share. So ordinarily, we assume mechila only for 7.5 kavin for a base kor, which is 7.5 out of 180. It's a very small percentage. That's how much you assume the person's going to be meichel. Beyond that, not. But when you're standing on top of it and you agree to buy this piece of land, even though you were told it's a base kor, b'simanov u'b'metzarov, but at the end of the day, you looked at it, you were makabel, we assume that you're willing to take it, even if it's not exactly the way the meicher is presenting it to you, but there too, it's only up to a certain shear. What's that shear? The shear is going to be a shtos. Now, the Rashbam says a few nice things in the Mishnah. Number one, Dr. Rashbam, don't get confused with this shtos and the shtos of Aina, because it'd be very convenient to do that. Ah, I know why it's a shtos. You're going to come like a London. You're a big bucky. Because I've been doing the daf for the last year, and I know the sugi's above a mitzvah, above a basra, that if somebody fools his friend in a mekech u'memka transaction, if it's up to a six, mechila. Once you get into a six, shtos, that's always the magic number. That's when things start becoming tricky. So maybe that's the pshat over here. Maybe it's based on I know. Says the Rashbam, as convenient as it would have been to learn the Mishnah that way, we know it can't be because ein I know lekarkois. Why ein I know lekarkois? Because karka doesn't really have a fixed value. You can't even run a real comp on property because no two properties are the same. Because what gives property its value? Three things: location, 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 and two pieces of property can't be in the same exact location. So ein I know lekarkois. So being then ein I know lekarkois, you can't tell me the yusoid of the halacha of shtos is based on I know because ein I know lekarkois. Elamai, it must be that Chazal felt that this is the magic number. Just so happens it's the same magic number that you find in the sugis of I know. Bottom line: ordinarily, if somebody sells a base korofar midah bechevel, even a little bit, we have to make the other person whole. People are not being mevater in anything. Hey chaser, hey yasser. Then people we assume would be mevater. How much? 7.5 kavim for every 180 kavim. It's a small percentage, but there is a certain amount that you assume people would be moichel. If you're standing on top of the base court and you're masking, the lekeach is masking to buy it, it was, even though the seller told him it's a base core, b'simanov, ubim, it's sarov, he made it pretty clear what it is he's selling him, it doesn't matter. The halacha is, we assumed like lekeach would be meichel up to a shtus, more than a shtus, he will not be meichel. What about a shtus itself? That's the Gemara. Itmar Rafuna, Amar Rafuna says shtus kepachas mishtus. A shtus is viewed as less than a shtus. And just like less than a shtus, we assume the buyer would be meichel. If it's an exact shtus, we assume the buyer would be meichel as well. Rav Yehuda says shtus ki yosem shtus, just like yosem shtus, we assume the buyer is not meichel. If it's an exact shtus, again we assume the buyer is not going to be meichel as well. Rav Yehuda says shtus ki pachas mishtus. Hachi kama, this is how Rav Yehuda read the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says pachas mishtus, it means v'shtus bechlal higiyoy. If it was less than a shtus over or a shtus itself, the buyer is taking it. Yoisim ishtos yinak. If it's more than ishtos, that's when the halacha is yinak. If you don't ishtos ki yoisim ishtos, Rav Yehuda says ishtos is ki yoisim ishtos. Hachi kama. This is the way you read the Mishnah. Pachas mishtos hi giyoy. Ad shtos. The shtos bechlal yinak. If it's a shtos, or if it's more than ishtos, at that point yinak. So there's no really good way to read the Mishnah. Rav Huna is going to read it his way. Rav Yehuda is going to read it his way. The Mishnah talked about pachas mishtos and yoisim ishtos. Mishnah didn't say anything about ishtos itself. You can tweak it however you want to tweak it. Rav Huna felt shtus is kepachas mishtos. Rav Yehuda said shtus is keyosem mishtos. Says the Gemara Meisvei. I'll ask you a kasha. V'simonov ubemitzarov piche shtus oy hoyser shtus. If somebody sells a base korof and he sells it to him, v'simonov ubemitzarov. If he was off by a shtus, says the Braisa, so this is not our Mishnah, says the Braisa, Hareyu kishum hadayonim. We view it as shum hadayonim, and the halach is higiyoy. Now, what's shum hadayonim? So Rashbam sends us to a sugyo, daf tzadik tes, and mesachtes ksubis. The halach over there was discussing where Bezdin had to sell nichse yisoymim. For whatever reason, a man died, left over yisoymim, yisoymim yarshin his estate. Incidentally, that's going to be the topic of the next perek, Perek Yishnoichlin. So in 2 days, we're going to start Perek Yishnoichlin, which is one of the most festive prokem in Shas. It's a 30-daf perek here in Masechtas Bava Basra. It's the size of Cheskes Abatim, one of the most geshmaka festive prokem in all of Shas. That's the home stretch of Masechtas Bava Basra. But either way, the topic, of course, is Yishnoichlin Manchilim. So a man dies. That's how Yishnoichlin starts, with somebody dying. So Yish, person died, he leaves over Yisoymim, and he left over daughters as well. He left over an almana. So the halacha is that the sons, Yarshin, but they have certain obligations towards their sisters, their father's daughters, or towards the almana. They would have to support them. How do you support them? So Bezdin takes some of the property, sells it, liquidates it, raises cash, and takes that money to go ahead and support. So Bezdin would go and make an assessment. Three dayanim would get together. There's a whole process of exactly how it had to be done. Bezdin couldn't just sell it the way a hedit would sell it. There's a separate way that Bezdin had to go about doing this. So Bezdin went and made a shuma. They assessed the property. They sold it. And then we found out afterwards that Bezdin botched up. They made a mistake. that they had not assessed the property properly. So it's a machlokes Rav Shimon Agliel and the Chachamim, how you treat it. The Chachamim say that it depends on how much they were off. If they were off by a sixth or more than a sixth, then we say that the mecher is knocked out, it's null and void. The buyer would have to return to the assignment and they would have to do it all over again. If it was less than a sixth, then we assume a chilaf. It's very geschmack why the braisa that's discussing this halacha of Beis Kor, offer ani moichalof, the simon of ube mitzarav, stels to the halacha of Shemadayon, because it's the same halacha. Again, the simon of ube mitzarav, picheshtos, oyhoisishtos, harehu ke Shemadayon. It's like Shemadayon. What do you mean it's ke Shemadayon? Just like Shemadayon, if the Dayanim would sell the Nichse Yisoyimim, and they would be wrong. The halacha is up to a six, it's okay. Once you hit a six and beyond, that's when it's an issue. It's the same exact halacha over here. It's Geshuma Dayanim. It says the Gemara, one knetch we could take out of this Braisa that we didn't see in the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah didn't say anything about Shuma Dayanim. The Braisa added Shuma Dayanim. So why did it do it? For poetic license? To make it Geshmak? No, there's probably halacha that we're learning from there. You know what halacha we're learning from there? Vashum HaDayanim. Dishtos Kiyoisim Ishtosu. By Shuma Dayanim, it's clear. It's a Mefurish Mishnah. That if it's exactly a six, it's treated as if it's more than a six. And just like more than a six, we knock it out. A six, we also knock it out. So you see from Shuma Dayanim that a six is like Yosef is six. And being that the Braisa applied the halacha of Shuma Dayanim to our halacha right here of Kur, Beis Kor Ofer Ani Meichelop is Imar B'Mitzarev, it would seem to be a raya to Rav Yehuda that Shtus is Ki Yosef Mishtos, not Ki Pachos Mishtos, says the Gemara. I'm like, Rav Huna is going to tell you, let me ask you a kasha. Higiyu Katani, there's no way you can learn the price of this way. If you look in the Rashbam, there's a whole bunch of different Gersoyes, exactly how to learn Pshat in this Gemara. We'll take the easiest Pshat. So, Litamech, according to you, Higiyu Katani, you can't bring me a raya from there, because what did the price say? The price said, Areo Kushuma Dayanim and Higiyoi. What's the halacha by Shuma Dayanim if it's a shtos? Lohi giyoy, we knock out the sale. So what's Pashup Shad in the Braisa, the way you understand it? Again, if it was a shtos, it's Kishuma Dayanim and higiyoy. If it's a shtos, then, and it's Kishuma Dayanim, then it should be Lohi giyoy. Elo, you have to say Kishuma Dayanim, but Lohi Kishuma Dayanim. The Braisa doesn't mean that it's literally Kishuma Dayanim. It's Kishuma Dayanim with shtos, with regards to the number shtos. But v'loy kishum adayonim, not mamish kishum adayonim, v'ilu hasan batol mekach, v'ir, if it's exactly a six, the mekach is going to be batol, v'ilu hach, over here, if it's exactly a six, higiyoy, the halach is the mekach is going to be kind. In other words, in short, what the Gemara is saying, according to this girsa, is that when the Braisa said it's kishum adayonim, it just meant, on some level, it's kishum adayonim. Just like shum adayonim, it's all about the shtos, here too, it's also all about the shtos. In terms of the detail of the halach, it's not the same. Because by shum adayonim, shtos is ki yoisim mishtos. In our sugya, according to Rav Huna anyways, shtos is ki pachas mishtos, dami. Zok the Gemara Vait. Rav Papa zov an aramahu gav. Rav Papa bought a piece of land from a man. This is another Gemara where Rav Papa is doing business, wheeling and dealing. Amalei, havya, esrin grivi mashche. So the seller told Rav Papa that this piece of land that I'm selling you right now, the size is 20 grivin. So Rav Papa took it home, he brought it to his in-house engineers, they measured it and they found out that it was only 15. Aslikami da bayo, amalei. So Abayo told Rav Papa, sovris vikabilas. I understand that you thought you were buying something that was 20 grivin, and it turns out it's only 15 grivin. That's not the thing to eat on Shabbos. So either way, so he told him, Sabbath too, I can't help you. Savris v'kabilas. Meaning he thought it's probably a tushta to our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, you see the case of Beis Kor Ofer Ani Moichelof. When you're standing on top of it, where the halach is that up to a shtos, the buyer is mevater. But once you hit the shtos, at that point you're not mevater. So a papa and the moicher, they're standing on top of this property right here. So up to a shtos, I agree, but this is a lot more. This is a shlish. He thought it was 20. It turned out it was only 15, or it's a quarter if you go milavar, milagav, but it's definitely more than a shtos. Says the Gemara, Vatnan, Pachas Mishtos Igiyat Shtos Yenaka. Right, Rapapa knew the Mishnah. So Rapapa told Abaya, isn't this a tzushtel to our Mishnah? So Abaya told him, Hani Mili, that's only true. Hechet Leit Kim Lebegava. That would have been true if you didn't know the properties, dimensions, and you were relying on what the seller told you. Aval Hechet Leit Kim Lebegava, but Rapapa, you knew this piece of property. And you knew that it was only 15 and not 20. So Sava Vakiva, you can't come now with tainas. So if you didn't know, okay, so you didn't know. But you did know. Faith the Gemara, Va Esra, normally. The Papa went back at Abaya. And he told him, I hear, it's true. Sure, I knew this piece of property was 50, let's be honest. But at the same time, he told me it was 20. So you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, I know it's 15, he knows it's 15. He's telling me 20. Probably he's going to be mechayev himself to give me a piece of land that's 5 grivin from somewhere else. He's going to pick it up from somewhere else in his estate. That's what I was thinking. So maybe I can't come with a tainas mekach tois on this piece of property itself, but shouldn't he be obligated to be mashlim the other 5 grivin somewhere else? Amar Aleh, so he told him, no, it's not mukach, because it could be when he told you it's 20, even though you knew that it was really only 15, the adifa ke esrim. What he meant to say was that this piece of property, which is really 15 grivin, it's choshev as if it was 20. The fact that he said 20, even though you knew it was 15, doesn't mean for sure that he meant to give you another 5. He said 20 and it was 15. He meant to say it's choshev as if it's 20. But really, all he's giving you is 15. Bottom line is, you knew what its dimensions were. You can't come now with some taina of mekach tois. It's not a tzushtel to our Mishnah. So even though it was off by Yois Mishto, still the halacha is savris v'kabilas, says the Gemara Tanya. And this next Gemara has absolutely no shaychis, really, to what we just learned. You would expect there to be two dats. And we're going to have to go through a little bit of Gemara into tomorrow's daf to see why it is that the Gemara is bringing this discussion into the sugyas that we're learning right now. But for now, a little bit of a digression. Tanya Rabbi Yosi Eimer, Acha Shecholku, two brothers that divided a Yerusha. So a man died, and he left over sons. He also left over money. Rashbam says it doesn't matter if they were two sons or if they were more than two sons, three sons. The halacha is if the brothers decided that the way that they're going to divide this Yerusha is through a goyrel, then kivan sha'ala goyrel le'echad mehem, as soon as one person picks up the first lot, the first goyrel, kanu kulam, everyone is going to be kaina. So the way the Rashbam explains it is, in the case of two brothers, it's the most simple. Man died, left over a Yerusha, left over two pieces of property. So they went, they assessed to make sure that the two pieces of property were equal. Now the question is, which piece of property is Reuven going to take, and which piece of property is Shimon going to take? They couldn't agree. So they decided, let's settle it with a Geirel. So they made a Geirel, exactly how they made it. Reuven's going to pick up, Shimon's going to pick up his thing out of the hat. Reuven picks up his paper that says which piece of property he's going to get. As soon as he picks it up, Kivan Sha'ala Geirel Echa Me'en, Kanu kula. Reuven's kaina his property. Shimon's gonna be kaina his property. Rashbam says, what if there were three brothers? It'd be the same thing. Once one person picks up his geirel, he's gonna get his property. Now the other two can't be kaina because they still have to figure something out. But at least between the two of them, they're kaina the other property, and now they can figure out how they want to divide it. Either they could divide it with a geirel, they could divide it without a geirel. It's at their own discretion. They could do what they want. But the point is that if there was an agreement, a verbal agreement, to resolve this chalukah al yedei goyro, kivan sha'ala goyro le'echad mehen, kanu kul. Everyone's kaina. Not only the person that picked up the goyro, but everybody, the other party, or the other parties as well, would be kaina. My time, what's the makar? How do you know you can be kaina with a goyro? I mean, we've been learning all the bavas, so we know you can't just be kaina things. You can pay for it, top dollar, it doesn't matter. You need mashicha, you need akba, you need chazaka, all the different types of kinyonim. And now you have a naya patent? Kivin sha'ala goyro le'echad mehem kanu kulam, amar abalaza, kitchilas Eretz Yisrael. We learned it out from the way the Yidden divided Eretz Yisrael when they entered Betchila for the first time. Just like when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time, they divided Eretz Yisrael with a Goyrol. Afkan beGoyrol. So too over here, the people have a right to divide it with a Goyrol. Freit the Gemara. Imala halon bekalpi v'urim v'tumen. Afkan bekalpi v'urim v'tumen. If you're telling me that the makar that a Goyrol works is we learn it out from Tchilas Eretz Yisrael, from the way the Yidden divided Eretz Yisrael when they entered for the first time, then perhaps you should say that the only way it's going to work is if you do it exactly the way it was done then. And when they divided Eretz Yisrael for the first time, it was done with a kalpi. There was a special basket that was used. It was done, of course, with the Urim V'tumim. So maybe that's the only time Goyrol works. And being that today, if two brothers are going to divide a Yerusha, they don't have the kalpi, and they don't have an Urim V'tumim, so maybe it shouldn't be possible. Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi said, Be'ahu hana tekotzaisi lehadodi gamri umakni lahadadi. Rav Ashi said, you're right, you have to add a little bit into understanding why Goyrol works. It's not simply kitchilas Eretz Yisrael. Because if you're going to shtel to Eretz Yisrael, it's not going to be perfect. Because Eretz Yisrael had things that we don't have. That original chalukah was done with a kalpi, urn, v'tum, and etagoyro. You don't have that. But we could be mitzvah of something else, said Rav Ashi. And that is that the two brothers, when they come to an agreement and they say, we're willing to split this land based on a goyro, each one of these brothers is going to be very happy. And this is in line with a theme that the Gemara is going to say at the end of the staff that we've seen many times. We've never really spoken much about it, but it's something that we've seen a lot. The Gemara says, k'deiru debe shutfi, loy chamimi v'loy kariri. When two partners together own a k'deira, so the k'deira is never very hot, it's never very cold, because each one is relying on the other one. So sometimes it's in the shutfin's advantage to decide that you take this and I take that. So when they agree, the two brothers, that I'm going to take this property and you're going to take this property, each one's very happy. They're besimcha because they realize that it's beneficial for each one of them. They have hana. It comes out that Reuven and Shimon, the two brothers, were mahana each other. Reuven gave Shimon hana when Reuven agreed that, yeah, I'll walk away based on the girl. Shimon gave Reuven hana when Shimon agreed to walk away based on the girl. If I give you hana and you give me hana, there's some consideration trading hands. Once it's consideration trading hands, you can say in exchange for that consideration, I was machna to you the thing that I want. So there's a kinyan taking place over here in exchange for real consideration. What's the consideration? There was no money that traded hands, but the fact that each brother agrees to the gairo, that is a maisa hana. He's being mahana the other brothers. Oh, you agreed to the gairo, gevaldig, I'm so besimcha. That hana that he gave me, in exchange for that, I'm makne to him the piece of property. That's how the kinyan works. You're right. It's not just a prostitutel. That just like Betchilas Eretz Yisrael, the land was divided with a goyro. So to today, you could divide land with a goyro. That's not a perfect tzushtel. Because over there was a goyro, but there was also a kalpi and urvatumim. That's things that we don't have right now. What the Gemara is saying is that in addition to that, Omer Ravashi, there's real consideration that's going on. It's interesting. The Ritva says that what's this by hiyana? So you have this Rav Masech, this Kedusha, Isha Niknas for Kesef. It doesn't have to be real Kesef. The Sugya of Adam Chashuv, the Sugya of Mekadesh Benova, Rekoyt Lefanai, Schoik Lefanai, a lot of the festive Sugyas of Masech, this Kedusha are predicated on a man being Mekadesh and Isha without physically giving her money, but being Mahana her. And the Hana that he gives her, that is in lieu of money. And we view it in halacha as if it would be money. So if Isha Niknas Bekesef, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephraim, a man can be Mekadosh and Isha, Behahi Hana as well. Says Ritzvah, Pashub Shat. That's the way I learned the Gemara. But he says if that's the case, it could be Itchapen Afgimidah Halacha. This Gemara is talking about Karka. Nechasim Sheish Ma Machraks, which are Niknas Bekesef, Shtar Bechazaka. So Karka is talking Niknas Bekesef. He Hana works with a Kenyan Kesef, so this would work to divide property, which is exactly what our Gemara is discussing. We're discussing L'churu dividing property. But says the Ritva, what would be if they're dividing Metaltalin? Would this work as well? Could you divide Metaltalin Al Yidei Goyrel? If it only works based on Ahi Hana, and Ahi Hana is Kesef, essentially, and Metaltalin is not Niknas Bekesef, Dvar Torah Mois Koinus. But midrabbanan, you can't be kind of metaltalin bekesef. You need mashicha. So it could be the goyrel couldn't work because the whole goyrel is working. And that's just a form. It's a variation of kinyan kesef. Kesef doesn't work to be kind of metaltalin. So madach, if you give the guy real cash geld, you can't be kind of metaltalin. So certainly, if you're mahanahim, you give him something that is in lieu of money, l'chura, that shouldn't be able to work either. Either way, the maskonas ha-gemara is pretty straightforward. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, ha'achin she'cholku, two brothers that are dividing, doesn't mean karka, maybe also metaltlin, kivan she'olo goyro le'echad mehem, once one person picks up a goyro, kanu kula, mai taima, amar Rabbi Lazar, ketchila seretz Yisrael, ma tchila be'goyro, just like when Eretz Yisrael was divided for the first time, it was divided with a goyro. So too, here you can be kind of a girl. Aye, but Chilas Eretz Yisrael, there was also a Kalpi and a Urim V'tumim. Says the Gemara, you have to be mitzaref something. What are you being mitzaref? Amar Rav Ashi, be'ahu hana, dekotzaisi lahadodi, gamri umaknu lahadodi. It's not surprising that the Rambam in Hilchos Shechein and Perek Beis Halacha Yud Aleph brings this Gemara la'alacha. Says the Rambam, ha'achin shecholku va'asu b'neim goyro. Two brothers are dividing a Yerusha. They made a goyro between the two of them. Kivin sha'ala ha'goyro le'echad mehen, kanu kulan. Once one person picks up his goyro, Everybody is kind of whatever they need to be kind of. Behanoya shenasis lohem sheshamu zem mizel davar sheheskimu olav, says the Rambam, because it's an exchange for the hano that they're listening to each other and they're agreeing with each other to part ways. Gomar kol echad mehem umakna lechaveira. Each person is gomar umakna to his friend. So the Rambam brings this gemara. The way we have it right here. Says the Ravin, Asogas Ravin, Omer Avram, Loinus Chavrutvarf. I don't agree with the Rama. Freak the Lechem Mishnah, in the Magid Mishnah, and fast forward, hundreds of years later, Rab Chaim Brisko and Chidush Rab Chaim Alevi Al Rambam, Lechura, Divrei HaRaivet are Tumu and Madamai. How could the Raivet say, Leinus Chavut Varav? All the Rambam did was quote a Gemara. The Rambam quoted a Gemara, word for word, in Mesechtes Bava Basar, Daf Kuv Vav Amid Beis. It's Mamish HaMefurish HaGemara. So, Fregen D'Achroinim, what in the world is going on? The Raivet says, Leinus Chavut Varav. The Raivet didn't even feel compelled to tell us what was wrong with the Rambam. But the Raivet has a major issue with the Rambam quoted a Gemara. Is the Gemara Leinus Chavut Varav to the Raivet? The Ravid can't argue with a Gemara. All the Rambam did was quote a Gemara. So this is not a Shver Rambam. This is a Pashat the Rambam. So what's Pashat Pshat in the Ravid that the Ravid tells the Rambam, I don't agree with your Psak Halacha, the Chura, all the Rambam is doing is quoting a Gemara. So this piece over here, in Chedusha Reb Chaim Alevi Al Rambam and Hilchos Shechinim, is a classic Reb Chaim, classic in the sense that it's very hard and it's very deep and it's something that you really have to harva over, but it starts a little light. So at least the intro of Reb Chaim is something that we can maybe try to explain a little bit. Either way, says Reb Chaim that the emes is, he has a problem with the whole Gemara. The Gemara says, Ha'achen shecholku, kivan sha'olo goyro le'echa mehem, kanu kulon. Now what's the makar? Ketchilas Eretz Yisrael. Just like when Eretz Yisrael was divided for the first time, it was divided with a goyro, so too, any time two brothers want to divide a Yerusha, they could divide it with a goyro. Frank Reb Chaim, I have a very big problem with that. Why? The emes is that if somebody dies and he leaves over a Yerusha for a child, the child doesn't have to make a kinyan in what he's yarshining in order for that thing to be his. Because Yerusha happens in the Mimela. Even without a kinyan, he doesn't have to do that. If a father dies and he leaves over two children, then it becomes a little bit trickier. Why is it trickier? Because being that there are two children, and the two children are going to divide the Yerusha, so you can't say that the Yerusha happens bimimela, because although the two brothers together, bimimela, should be kind of the entire state, but how does Ruvain know which chelik this is? How does Shimon know which chelik it is? And the emes is, the Gemara says in different places, that how you ultimately look at the two brothers that are yarshining their father from a halachic standpoint is totally in the sugya of yesh breira or ein breira. If you hold yesh breira, so that means that after the two brothers divide the Yerusha, huvra adav l'mafreya, that this was supposed to be Reuven's and this was supposed to be Shimon's. So if when Reuven yarshins, he yarshins b'memela, and when Shimon yarshins, he yarshins b'memela, even though at the onset, at the time of the p'tira, there was some confusion, but once the breira happened, yesh breira, for huvra adav l'mafreya, what was supposed to belong to Reuven and what was supposed to belong to Shimon. And that happened in Mimela, which would mean it's something that could be done, I feel, on a kinyan. You wouldn't need a kinyan. It's something that could, without a question, happen in Mimela. If you hold a breira, however, so you don't say huvra adav l'mafreya, which means that even though if there was only one brother, the Yerusha would happen in Mimela, but if there are two brothers, the Yerusha cannot happen. So the two brothers yarshin together, but in terms of how each brother is going to get his piece, the Gemara calls them lekuchay, saying they're buying it from each other, not literally, but proverbially speaking, it's as if they're buying it from each other, and each brother would have to go ahead, each brother would have to make a maisakin. Freit Reb Chaim, we know that the halach is imbrer. Stating that, the Gemara says that when the Yidden divided Eretz Yisrael, the times of Yeshua ben Nun, Elazar Kohen Gadol, when he entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time, it was done with a mahalach of yesh breira. Azoiz mevur in sugis hashas. So even though we paskin ein breira, but that chalukah happened al yidei yesh breira. I mean, Yidden didn't have to go into Eretz Yisrael and be koine. Is that true? There are sugis that are mashbi. We just spoke at the Gemara in Kedusha Chavav and Aleph that we learn akini chazaka from the fact that the Yidden conquered Eretz Yisrael when they entered in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. But the point is, it's a mefurish Gemara that when the land was divided originally, it was divided with a mahalach of yesh breira. We paskin alocha lemaisa ein breira. So based on this hakdama, Frank Reb Chaim, what's pashup shad in the tushla of the Gemara? I don't understand Pashim Shad of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Achid Shachalku, Kivan Sha'ala Gurla Echamayam Kanukula. My time, we learn it from Tchilas Eretz Yisrael. Matchilas Eretz Yisrael Begoyrol, Afkan Begoyrol. Frank Rab Chaim, you're learning it from Tchilas Eretz Yisrael. Tchilas Eretz Yisrael was Yesh Breira. If it was Yesh Breira, what did the Goyrol have to do? All it had to do was tell me which chelik is going to belong to Reuven, which chelik is going to belong to Shimon, which chelik is going to belong to Levi, etc., etc., etc. But it didn't have to create a kinyan because we're discussing Nachla, which happens b'memelo. We hold Yesh Breira. The Goyrol didn't have to create kinyan. All it had to do was be mevar. What chelik is going to belong to him, and what chelik is going to belong to him. But as it relates to ha'achin shacholku, where we pass kinyan breira, now you need a tuoi for kinyan al yedei the chaluka, who said goyro can accomplish a kinyan. In the world of yesh breira, all goyro needs to do is be mevar. To be mevar, maybe that's something that goyro has an ability to do. But achin shacholku, you need to do more than just be mevar. Achin shacholku, you're trying to create a kinyan. If you're trying to create a kinyan, why do you need a kinyan? Because Ein Breira, that's the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, who said Goyrel has an ability to two wife, Kinyan, Zok Reb Chaim, that was the Raivet's Hasaga. The Raivet learned this Gemara, but the Raivet held that Aliba de Hilchasa, this Gemara can't be Emes. Because Aliba de Hilchasa, Ein Breira, it's a Gemara. Maybe the Gemara is going according to the Mandama that holds Yesh Breira. There's such a Mandamar, that Mandamar is mentioned throughout Shas. We just don't paskin like that Mandamar. But of course there's a Mandamar in Shas that holds Yesh Breira. So the Raivet held that this studio is going according to the Mandamar that holds Yesh Breira. Oh, it's going according to the Mandamar that holds Yesh Breira. If that's the case, then says the Raivet, as it relates to the halacha, so again, the Rambam quoted this Gemara. It's Frank the Raivet, Loi Neschavut Varov, Frank the Chaim, and everybody. What do you mean, Loi Neschavut Varov? The Rambam's quoting a Gemara. In other words, Raivet, what you're telling the Rambam is the Gemara's not right. How do you have a right to do that? You know he has a right to do that? Because the Raivet could say that the Gemara is going according to the Mandama that holds Yesh Breira, but I'll leave it the Hilchas so we paskin Ein Breira. It's for that reason this Gemara has no relevance. Halacha Lamaisa. Lamaisa Reb Chaim continues. I mean, Shanei Moli continues. But just one other knetch that he says in the beginning, there's a machlokes rishonim, when Rav Ashi pops up, and Rav Ashi says, Bahu hana, the kotsaisi lahadadi, gamri umakni lahadadi. There's two girsayas in the rishonim. Some rishonim had the girsa the way we have it, Omer Rav Ashi. Other rishonim had the girsa, Ella Omer Rav Ashi. What's the difference? The difference is when Rav Ashi says, Bahu hana, are we still working with Goyrel? Or El Omer Rav Ashi, you're right, good kasha. I thought Goyrel is learnt out from Tchilas Eretz Yisrael. It's not learnt out from Tchilas Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because there was a kalpi, there was an urvatum. El Amar Rav Ashi, it has nothing to do with Chilas Eretz Yisrael, but rather it's Bahu Ano. So it says, Reb Chaim, it could be the Machloikis, Rambam Ravid, was totally in the Girsa in the Gemara. L'maskonas HaGemara, are we still learning it from Chilas Eretz Yisrael? The Ravid held was still learning it from Chilas Eretz Yisrael. If we're still learning it from Chilas Eretz Yisrael, and Chilas Eretz Yisrael worked with Yesh Breira, and we paskin in Breira, so this whole sugi is not that. But it could be the Rambam held El Amar Rav Ashi, that L'maskona, it's really not learned out from, the Rambam doesn't bring Tchilas Eretz Yisrael. L'maskona, it's not learned out from Tchilas Eretz Yisrael. But L'maskona, it works with a Kenyan Kesef. Bahu Ano, the Kotsaisi La'adodi, Gamri, U'makni La'adodi. If L'maskona Sagamora has nothing to do with Tchilas Eretz Yisrael, so the Ravid Ha'ara is not Negeil Al-Halacha. Because the Ravid Ha'ara was Tchilas Yisrael was Yesh Breira, which applying it to a world of Ein Breira, you're right, that was true in the Havamina of the Gemara, but the Maskana Sa Gemara, this has nothing to do with Chilas Eretz Yisrael, thus the Ha'ara from Yesh Breira to Ein Breira has zero relevance. Exhale. But as it relates to the idea of Goyrel, so you have a sugi over here regarding a Goyrel, dividing Eretz Yisrael with a Goyrel, I just thought to speak out a few interesting anecdotes related to a Goyrel. So Goyrel is something that comes up very much in our culture, certainly in our history. Yoina is on the ship, and they're trying to figure out who is it that's causing this horrible storm that seems to want to sink the ship. They decide they're going to make a girl. It turns out to be the great Navi, Yoina ben Amitai, and he agrees to jump into the water. Haman, Al-Shem HaPur, makes his famous girl. You had the Shnei Seirim, girl Echad LaShem, the girl Echad LaZazel. In the Beis HaMikdash, they used to use a Goyrol to decide who would be Meir Mesadeshen, who would do the Avodah. So Goyrolos is something, if you think for a minute, it comes up many, many different times in different places, sizes, and shapes in our culture. So just a little bit about the idea of a Geira. The Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. So we're familiar with the story of Achan. It's right in the beginning of Sefer Yishuv. If you sit down and learn Nach, even if you say it doesn't make it too far, you probably got to the story of Achan. So the Yidden went and they conquered Yericho, and Hashem told Yeshua Benun very, very clearly that no one's allowed to touch any of the shalal that you're going to get from Yericho. It's off limits, it's cherim, it's something that has to be treated like hektish, it's something you're not allowed to touch. L'maisa, one person went and he had ana from the shalal of Yericho, and Yeshua Benun wasn't sure who it was. So Yeshua Benun turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is it? Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. B'shoshem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeshua Chati Yisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yeshua Benun, Chati Yisrael, Amal Afan of Ribayna Shalaylam. So Yeshua Benun turns to Hashem, and he says, Michat, all of Klal Yisrael sin? Of course not. Who was it? Amal Esi, he told him, Chidil Terani Lach. What am I, a gossiper? Hashem tells Yeshua Benun, I'm not going to tell you. Hapel Geiralos, you want to know, make a Geiral, and you'll figure it out. Halach Vipo Geiralos. So Yeshua Benun went, and he made a Geiral. V'nafal HaGeiral Al Achan. And the girl landed on Achan. Amalai Yeshua. So Yeshua Benon goes over to Achan. And he tells Achan, you're the guilty party. Achan says, how do you know? He says, I made a girl and the girl came out to you. So he told him back, but girl at the ball, that's how you're convicting me? This is your evidence that you have? This is the beyond a reasonable doubt that I'm the guilty party based on a geirul? And Achan told him something very logical. He said, if I made a geirul right now and I put two names in the geirul, yours, Yeshua Benun, and Allah Zakayin Gadol, one of you are going to end up being guilty. So how in the world can you prove based on a geirul that it's me? Amalois, Yeshua Benun tells Achan, Bevakosh, Nimcha, Altoisi Laza, Geirulis. Hear what you're saying, but be quiet. Don't be mitzi laz on the credibility of Geirul. Shasid Eretz Yisrael, shetischalik beGeirul. Because Eretz Yisrael is going to be divided by the Geirul Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ach beGeirul yichalik ba'aretz. Either way, a Gemara over here, where you see two things. Number one, the power of Geirul, that Achan was convicted based on a Geirul. They gave him Yisus Bezdin. This was all based on a Geirul. There were no Edom. This is all what it was based on. That's number one. And then again, you see Achan comes with what at first glance would seem to be a rather logical taina. He tells them that you're being mitzi laz on geirolos. Yeshua tells them, don't be mitzi laz on geirolos. Bottom line is, Sanhedrin daf mem gimel amud beis. As it relates to how the geirolos work, so this is way beyond my pay grade. I have no idea. But we didn't learn that in yeshiva. But just one interesting anecdote on that note, and that is that we know that Purim was called Purim al Shem HaPur. So Haman made a geirul, wasn't sure what month to go ahead and attack the Yidden, Chodesh Adar, he was very happy, because that's the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. He didn't realize it's also the month that Moshe Rabbeinu was born. But either way, the Yontif of Purim is called Purim al Shem HaPur. And Makshim HaOilam, a lot of Purim Torah on this, the why Purim Lashon Rabbin? First of all, what's so significant about the geirul? That's a separate shmuz. But why Purim Lashon Rabbin? Hippel Pur. It wasn't Purim. It was Hippel Pur. So Yenis and Ibishitz and Yaris Tvash said something interesting. He said that that's Pashit. He said that's Pashit, that the Geirul that Haman made wasn't as simple as he took 12 pieces of paper and he wrote on each piece of paper, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, El, Tishrei. He put it in a hat, picked one out, Adar, Gevaldik. That's the month that I'm going to have. He said, that just seems so silly. That's the Ganser Geirul. It was for sure going to come out as one of the 12. And maybe over there, Achan would have had a good taina. This is the whole Geirul. Put Yeshua Benun, put Allah Zakayin Gadol. It's also going to come out to one of them. That's not the Geirul that we're all getting excited over. It must have been something a little bit more complicated. So it says, Rabbi Yenis and Ibishitz, that this is how it happened. There were two hats and two Geirulis. One hat had in the 12 pieces of paper, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, through Adar. The other hat had in it 354 papers, based on the 354 days in the lunar year. And it said day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, straight until 354. The person making the geirul, in this case Haman, picked one piece of paper out of each one of the two hats. If the day of the calendar would coincide with the month of the year that he picked out of the other hat, then he knew he was onto something. So, for example, had Haman picked out Adar, and then in the other Geirul, he would have picked out day 100. So then you would know he was off. because day 100 is going to be in the fourth month of the year, and Adar is the 12th month of the year. So that's something that could have never worked out. Had he picked out Chodesh Nisan, and it would have been day 177, Chodesh Nisan is the first month of the year, you don't have day 177 of Chodesh Nisan. So again, you know that you're out. But what happened was, he picked out Chodesh Adar, and the day coincided with the month of Adar. That's already not a coincidence. That's the power of Gadol. That's when you know you're onto something. And that's exactly what happened with Haman. So Zok Rabbi Yonasan said, how many Gadolos were there? One or two? There were two Gadolos. Being that there were two Gadolos, now you know the rest of the story. That's why it was called Purim. It wasn't Pur. If there was one hat, one midget, and one hat, then fine, then it's one. But being that there were two, so now it's not Pur. Now it's Purim. If it's Purim, there it's going to be a different halacha. We mentioned Yoina ben Amitai. So what's the story of Yoina ben Amitai? So we have Purim, now we have Mafta Yoina. We're working backwards, counterclockwise. So Mafta Yoina ben Amitai, he's on the ship, and there's this horrible storm. Chazal say that it was only that ship where there was, that was somehow being affected by the storm. The other ships, it's a prick of the Rebbe Eliezer, they're moving along very, very merrifully, and they realize that this is Hashkachal Yoina. There's someone here that Hashem is trying to send a message to. They make a Goyro, and the Goyro comes out to be Yoina. They throw Yoina off. Is this something that's okay, halacha l'maisa? I mean, let's say there's a group of people, they're on a ship, there's turbulence on the plane, they decide somebody over here is not behaving, and they're going to just chuck this guy overboard? You'd think not, right? Pazok to Sefer Chassidim, and it's tough, fresh, ayin test, and Sefer Chassidim, b'nei adam sho'evim bayam, people that are traveling at sea. V'amda aleim ruach sa'ara l'shaber hasfina. A ruach sa'ara came, this mighty storm, and it wants to break the ship, or to sink it. V'shara sfinois oivois b'shalim. And all the other sfinois, they're going along very peacefully. B'yodua, it's obvious, she'yesh b'sfina misha chayef. It's obvious that there's a person on this ship that is causing the tzaris. V'rashoyim l'hapul g'rolis. And the members of the ship have a right to make a goyrel. Al misha yipal ha goyrel zeachase. If they make a goyrel, gimel pa'amen, three times, it keeps on coming out to the same person. It's always yoina, yoina, yoina. Rashom lapil bayam. Halacha l'maisa paskins a sefer chsidim. You have a right to throw this person into the yam. Umespalulim shelo yipal al azake. They should daven the people to make sure that they're not killing an innocent man. El al achayev. Etc., etc., etc. So it's a dover nifla. This is something that's actually brought down in halacha. And truth is, you find in other places in halacha, in much more innocent contexts, where you find the idea of a girl. You find it in Shulchan Aruch, in Erechaim, Simon Kuf Lamed Beis, where there's different people that are chiyuvin in a base medrash. And the question is, who should daven for the Yomid? Who should say Kaddish? And the Magen Avraham says, he make a girl. Mach a girl. Whoever's going to end up being the one that wins the girl, he's the one that's going to end up doing it. Another context where you find girls by the Shnei Seirim. Girl Lechot Hashem, but girl Lechot Lazazel. There's a famous Ramban. We spoke about this Ramban years ago, but there's a famous Ramban. Why did the two Seirim have to be determined by the girl? So Ramban says, very cryptic raid, that the girl that went Lazazel really wasn't going Lashem. One girl was Lashem, and one girl was Lazazel. As if to say, I don't know what Lazazel is, but it's not Lashem. Because girl Echad Lashem, the girl Echad Lazazel. Again, forget about what Lazazel is. It's not Lashem, it's to some deity, it's to some force other than Lashem. Evan Ezra talks about this a little bit, but he doesn't want to. He says that I'm afraid to be Megala what it is. The Rabban says, Ani Aroch Lagala Soide, I'm going to tell you what it is. And basically, he has this whole Mahalach that the Azazel was Sari Shalesov, and on Yom Kippur, which is the day that we're trying to make sure that Sari Shalesov is not going to be Makatra against Klai Yisrael, we throw him a bone. What do we give him? We give him a carbon. So, Zok Ramban, if that's what Azazel is, he's giving Sari Shalesov, so to speak, a carbon. It's a little bit of Avodah Zarah. Now, the Torah says you're allowed to do it, so of course it's not Avodah Zarah. But Asrach, something, a shemet, it could look like maybe it doesn't smell right, says the Ramban. It's for that reason a goyrol. Because goyrolos come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And being that goyrolos come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's for that reason, let's do it in that way. Because if the Kohen Gadol would say, this seer is going to go Lashem, and this seer is going to go Lazazel, there'd be an idea of being makriv something, Lavay Dazar. As if I'm saying, I want this to go Lavay Dazar. So you know what we do? We say it's going to be done Ayde Goyrol, because me Hashem Yotza Adavar. We'll just conclude with this. There's a Tshuva Sagoinim, I'll read it to you inside. Then Ein Chelkoi Mevurin, Mapilam Goyroles. If there are people that are trying to divide something, you can be Mapil Goyroles. Uber. Chomokim sheyipal hagoyrol yati lenu. Wherever the goyrol falls, That's what you do. Ve'ein reshus la'adam Yisrael laver ha'agoyrol. A person does not have a right to violate a goyrol. She'ein ha'agoyrol el v'pi shamayim. Because the goyrol is v'pi shamayim. She'ne'emar al-pi ha'agoyrol te'chol eka'aretz. Ve'o'ivir al-ha'agoyrol. This is the punchline. If someone violates a goyrol, ka'o'ivir al-aseres ha'dibris. It's as if he was o'ivir al-aseres ha'dibris. You have a tshuva sa'ga'oinim that says that the goyrol is mamish, it's the dvar Hashem. And if you go and you violate the, it's like you're, what we mean that aseres ha'dibris. I think that aseres ha'dibris, because who said that aseres ha'dibris? Anoichi Hashem alekecha mipi agvura shamanu. This is a Kadosh Baruch Hu talk. You want to communicate that Kadosh Baruch Hu? You can communicate al-idei goyrol. The truth is, the word Gedoy Yisrael, they knew how to, the goyrol agro. There are different goyrolos that apparently were done over the generations, and they felt, did the Gdoilin, that through the medium of goyrol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to them. So goyrol is Alpia Goyrol Techolik Aretz. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking, so much so that we have a lashon in the Tshuvas HaGoinim, that Ha'over Ala Goyrol, Ka'over Ala Seres HaDibris.